Isn't this a sports show?
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs or the Royals, and I'm living in hell.
Almost entirely.
Welcome to Almost Entirely Existential Dread. I'm your host, Who Cares Anymore?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back like a koala.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, listen here. Beards edited that last one, where it sounds like I said the phrase, Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. I actually said that Patrick Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers. Already. Beards misquoted me. Oh, man! Wow, that was a doozy, huh? What do you think about how yesterday went? Was that according to plan? You feel good? Can that please be the last time we ever have a fart sound on this show? All right, can that be the last time? Beards is doing that with his face.
I'm good now.
Okay. I mean, it's...
I gave minimal effort.
So...
Like the Chiefs.
Really, really quickly here. Whenever I was driving in today, I was listening to 810, sister station, ESPN, Kansas City, 810. You know, siblings or whatever. And somebody called in to talk to Kevin on Between the Lines, which I filled in for on Friday. And he started off the call by just saying, hey, Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for having an adult talk radio show in Kansas City in the afternoons. And that right there, that's exactly why. That's your fault, and that's what he was talking about, and that's what we have to live with now. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy dragging us through the mud. All right, so listen. Yesterday wasn't super good. I'm laughing because it's better than the alternative, which is cursing into the microphone. I can't...
Or just crying.
Right, like...
That's what my sister does.
You know what I did yesterday? How old's your sister?
16. Going okay. Almost 17.
That makes sense. I cried for most of my 16th year. And 17th. 18th was better. And 19th was worse.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But you know what yesterday did to me? I tweeted this, and I'm going to see if I can just go back to my own tweet. This is the segment of the show. Josh reads his own tweets. And this actually...
Which is every segment of every show.
Yes, 100%.
Yep.
This actually ended up spurring on a great Twitter interaction between me and a carrot-based Twitter account. But I, currently, if you go to my Twitter and you just type Control F and then search the word carrot, you get 24 results. I'm not kidding.
I gotta know.
So I tweeted after I got home yesterday. I tweeted, how did today's Chiefs game impact me emotionally? I'm standing in my kitchen a big old full-sized carrot.
I did see that.
Don't trample over the punchline, Beards. Many of the people listening right now didn't hear me. So yeah, I went home, I opened up a big old bag of full-size carrots, and I just ate one, standing by the sink in the kitchen, just listening to a podcast or some music or something that had nothing to do with football. And by the way, did you know that baby carrots are just full-size carrots that get, like, ground down in the nubs? They're not younger carrots.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but like, I never would have expected
no,
that.
No, I wouldn't have ever thought of that, but you say that, and I'm like...
Sure.
Yeah, that
sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but they're carrots that are made to be, like, bite-sized. And then I started having this amazing Twitter interaction with an account called Carrots Are Falling.
Carrots Are Falling?
Yeah, I think it's a book, an absurd book of the day carrots started falling from the sky. This feed is all carrots all the time. So I followed them, and then they followed me back. Welcome to Almost Entirely Carrots. By the way, carrots, underrated vegetable. There aren't a ton of vegetables I can just stand by a sink and eat. A carrot is satisfying. You need a peeler, and that's it. You peel off the outside grossness, and you just stand there, and you just crack through it like you're frickin' Bugs Bunny. Not where I thought we were going to start the show the day after the Chiefs lost to the Bills. Their 15th loss in 16 games, something like that?
Actually, flip that stat. Then you're good. 16th loss
in
about 15
games.
Games.
That's funny.
I try.
So the Chiefs have now lost 5 of their last 6, with their only victory being a home game against the Broncos when the defense scored as much as the offense did, touchdown-wise.
Also, I think we know now that Denver's hot garbage.
Yes.
Woof.
Smoking.
Woof.
Smoking fuego garbage.
I watched a little bit of that game last night. Just
I didn't.
That was all that was on.
I didn't, man. I got out of here at about 5 o'clock yesterday. I went home. I didn't listen to any more football. I didn't watch any more football. I played Animal Crossing on my phone because the Animal Crossing phone game is the best. I went back and I played some Animal Crossing on my Nintendo DS. And my village is just in ruins, so I didn't do much with that, to be terribly honest. And then I went to bed. That's what yesterday did to me. And so the Chiefs are now 6-5. They're a game ahead of the Raiders and a game ahead of the Chargers. They go at the Jets this week, then they have the Raiders and then the Chargers. Not only is this team bad, the division is up for grabs. This might be the tightest division in the AFC at this point, although the Jags just lost, but I think the Titans also ended up losing to the Colts. I'm telling you, man, I checked out of football after the Chiefs game yesterday. I just had no appetite for it. I especially had no appetite to watch the Steelers play on Sunday Night Football. I'm tired of watching the Steelers, too. But I digress. We have to talk about the problem.
Really quickly, I have AFC standings if you want them.
Sure.
AFC South, Tennessee and Jacksonville are tied for it. And that's,
okay.
Outside of the West, that's pretty much it.
Right. The Steelers are crushing.
The Steelers
and the
are the Steelers and the Patriots are the Patriots.
And the Chiefs are the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yep.
Bleep. I almost cursed. But so
NFC South, I mean, that's okay, and I'm coughing.
Beards, take 5, would you? Just get out of here. Go get a drink. So the Chiefs' offense is broken, right? And there are only so many moving parts in a unit of a team. You're going to figure out what to do about this one way or another. Something has to be the most to blame, right? And if you were one of the people that weren't buying into the fact that the offense was broken back whenever I said it was during the Steelers game, or again during the Broncos game, or again during the Cowboys game, that I'm sure you are now. And now listen, really quickly, one more side thing. If you're a fan and you're just sort of like, now you just got on the Mahomes train, that's fine, I get it. Like, you want to root for your team and you want to root for things optimistically. But if you're saying, oh, well, you know what? Now I think the offense is broken, or now I understand the Mahomes conversation. After all of this, you are not a pioneer. You are a lemming. You are just following the footsteps of people who are watching ahead of you. If you are among the fanalists or whatever. If you're a fan, just, you know, trying to be as optimistic as you can, I have no problem with just getting to the Mahomes place. But the Chiefs had one offensive touchdown against the Steelers, 3 against the Raiders, 1 against the Broncos, 2 against the Cowboys, including the Hail Mary, which was essentially a punt. So I wouldn't count that one personally, but it does count. 0 against the Giants and 1 against the Bills. The Chiefs have averaged 1 offensive touchdown a game through the last 4 games. The offense is obviously broken. Yesterday, Alex Smith on, I think it was 36 passes, something like that. I'll get you the exact number in a second. On something like 36 passes, by my count, Alex Smith had 24 of those travel less than 10 yards in the air. Yep, 36 passes. He completed 23. 24 of his passes, by my count, traveled less than 10 yards in the air. If you're just joining us, welcome back to the Alex Smith experience. We've been here a while. This was my huge frustration during the preseason and even during the first five games. As I wanted to be optimistic, I could never get this Alex Smith out of my head. We saw out this Alex Smith for most of his career. We saw out this Alex Smith for most of last year. And we got a different sample size for five. We got a different Alex Smith for a five-game sample size. And then so you look at this Alex Smith and you're stunned? Spare me. Come on. I mean, this is not a shocker. It's just Alex Smith. And again, yesterday the Chiefs had that big drive to go in the game with 5 minutes left, right? That's when it felt like the game was going to be determined, and they actually ended up with another chance. But do you remember what happened on that last drive, or that second-to-last drive, ultimately? There, like, 5 out of 6 throws were screens or, like, 2-yard checkdowns. And whenever I watched that, I thought, this is the perfect example of two things. Alex Smith's trust in himself and Andy Reid's faith in Alex Smith. All of the screens are dialed up. Those are on Andy Reid. He's dialing those up because he knows how limited Alex Smith is. The checkdowns are on Alex Smith. I know people have this rage about Andy Reid. They have this rage against, well, wait, why is Reid getting off scot-free? Because guys are open. Guys were open yesterday downfield. Why don't you blame the offensive line? Alex Smith was running into pressure. If you watch the Vikings on Thanksgiving, you saw Case Keenum do more with less than Alex Smith does in the pocket. The biggest problem now, not the only problem, but the biggest problem is 100% Alex Smith. I don't get great pleasure in saying that, although I can understand why you would think that I would, because I did say this all preseason. But it's just the truth at this point. It's evident. There's all screens and short passes at the end, especially. Throughout the whole game, really. But it was especially painful to watch at the end. 3rd and 6. Screens and checkdowns can get you to 3rd and 6. They're not going to get you past it. It was embarrassing. 4th and 4. Smith overthrows Hill. It was almost an interception. It's closer to an interception than it was a completion. Also, you had a wide open Albert Wilson who was waving his hand before the snap because Albert Wilson knew he was about to be open. When the Chiefs had to have the touchdown, Smith missed his only throw that traveled more than 5 yards in the air. And there were things like this throughout the whole game. And I vowed to do something different on Twitter where I tweeted less of my own opinions on Alex Smith and just retweeted other, like, qualified people. So, like, I retweeted Sam Ellinger showing that Alex Smith had missed an interception or missed a completion to, quote, a pretty basic pass to an open wide receiver. And then, you know, 3rd and 7, followed by a no-chance checkdown, Tyreek Hill. Mellinger again, you know, DeMarcus Robinson appears wide open on 3rd down within Smith's vision, but the quarterback instead decides to take a spleen shot short of the sticks. It's whenever Smith tried to scramble for the 1st down instead of throwing it to an open DeMarcus Robinson. So, where am I at now? We'll talk more about the offensive line. We'll talk more about Alex Smith. We'll talk more about Andy. We'll go in more depth in a minute. But for where I am right now, I'm not even willing to have a debate about Mahomes versus Alex Smith for this season. We can talk about it, but I'm not willing to start there. I should at least say that. I'm not willing to start there. Because I don't care. I don't care anymore. I just don't want to watch this game again. I watched this game against the Steelers in the playoffs last year. I watched this game against the Steelers at home this year. I watched this game offensively against the Cowboys, even more so against the Giants, and then again against the Bills. The best play of the game was a screen when Albert Wilson just put on the turbo boots, launched himself into the end zone off of a screen. Hey, Sam Mellinger's article headline just got on Around the Horn. That's exciting. Now, Around the Horn is talking about should the Chiefs consider a quarterback change. You have to. You have to. I'm completely done with this version of this offense. And you know what? I think Andy Reid is also. Andy Reid has been taking an X-Acto knife to this laminated play sheet for the last 3 weeks now. Just cutting out little windows of plays that he doesn't trust Alex with the run anymore. Like, he's done that so proficiently that at this point, if he holds up his play sheet over his face, it looks like one of those paper snowflakes that gets cut up by, like, a four-year-old. You're like, oh, Jimmy, what'd you make there? It's a paper snowflake. Okay, Jimmy, well, it doesn't... That's a good... Did you try it? Good job, Jimmy.
I was going to say it more looks like Hannibal Lecter's mask in Silence of the
Lambs. That's also pretty good.
And then Andy Reid just wears that as he goes to find Alex Smith.
Yeah, are you kidding? You don't wear a mask to keep from getting like hit by Alex Smith. Just stay 5 yards away. Listen, Alex Smith is a great, seems like a great person. So I don't think anyone would ever need a restraining order against him. But aren't most restraining orders like 300 feet or something?
Yeah,
I mean...
That ballpark? I haven't heard of any restraining order that's like 10 feet.
Well, but this is what I'm
that
saying.
That feels a little...
But this is what I'm
useless.
Saying,
useless.
Not if Alex Smith is the person you're getting your restraining order against. If you get a restraining order for Alex Smith, 15 feet might do it. What's he going to do? Throw a rock at you? Hit you in the foot? That's mean but funny. I still like the idea of Andy Reid just with a pair of scissors on the sidelines, like just with his tongue sticking out like a little kid focusing on something, you know? No, just cutting out all of the plays where the ball travels more than 10 yards in the air,
or it's like
tossing them into the Mahomes pile.
It's like that scene in the movie where the guy starts to go insane and he just starts laughing maniacally, and like the
right.
camera's tilted or whatever,
right.
and there's a flashing light in the background,
yeah.
and you start ah ha ha ha, snip 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 snip.
And it's just like, he accidentally cuts off the Kareem Hunt section of the play sheet entirely. Yeah.
He arranges all the cutout pieces into a shape of Mahomes' face.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's what I was doing on Sunday. I was cutting up a Mahomes snowflake thing. By the way, so apparently Pat Mahomes is going to be at a Hy-Vee again a week from tomorrow. He's doing like some Hy-Vee appearances or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Renee, my girlfriend, sent me like an invite to the Facebook event or whatever. And I have the show, and I don't want to go stand in line or whatever. And I think also it's kind of like a fan move, and I got to
very fanboy.
I got to try to be
very
a professional.
Fanboy.
But so I told Renee, like, oh, no, listen,
we're starting
I
now.
What
being professional?
Well, no, that's not what I'm.
I didn't get that memo.
You know what I meant?
Who sent the memo?
You know what
I'm
meant.
Not on the old staff email.
No, you know what I meant. But so she was like, well, you know, maybe I'll just go. And I was like, oh, no, I mean, no, don't. You don't need to do that. You don't really care that much. And she's like, oh, yeah, go get an autograph. And I'm like, I don't really care about autographs or anything. And she's like, oh, I don't know, we'll see. And now I'm terrified that Patrick Mahomes is going to steal my girlfriend.
I wasn't expecting that turn, but it was a good turn.
Yeah, because like, I'm afraid like, if I get a selfie from her, it's like, hey, I'm at Hy-Vee. Here's me with Pat Mahomes. It'll be the last I ever see her. She'll just be gone after that. This is all I have to remember both of them by.
Or it'll be like a slow decline into that point where just whenever she's around you now, all she talks about is Mahomes.
Oh, man. What a twist that'd be for
she
our relationship.
She never forgets to... She just always reminds you, you know, oh, I took a picture with Mahomes that one time.
Yeah. Actually, I tossed him a Sharpie to sign that football. He threw it back to me from like 45 yards away. Hit me right in the... It just hit me right in the chest. Perfect. And it would be a weird turn of events, like all the time that we're together, now she's the one constantly talking about Patrick Mahomes. What a weird twist. All right, whenever we come back, we'll talk about future Chiefs quarterback and future boyfriend of my current girlfriend, Patrick Mahomes. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Alex Smith's not going to win a Super Bowl. I've been saying that since, like, that was my first complete sentence as a baby.
With Joshua Briscoe.
At 18 months, I was saying, Mama, Dada, Goo Goo, Gaga, Alex Smith will never win a Super Bowl. Mwah.
On ESPN Kansas City.
The Chiefs cut Ross Travis, so you know we're good. Everything's fixed. Weird. All right, so I told you they were going to talk more about everything we started talking about. It's pretty much this week of shows, I think. I'm at a bad place with everything right now because I think I'm fighting a fight that isn't really the fight, if that makes sense. There are a bunch of reasons right now that I'm over the Alex Smith thing. I'm just over it. It's like Ivan tweets, he said, stop it, just stop it. Even if Mahomes was to get in, he's not leading this team to the playoffs or Super Bowl. Chiefs have a lot of work to do. Offensive line, defensive backs, coaching. Fair. That's fair. But even if you're in, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Pat Mahomes is going to take you to the promised land this season. I am not saying that, and no one should be saying that. We don't know. But we don't know. Mahomes was brought in because of his ceiling, because the Chiefs think there is something to him. And I think if you injected Andy Reid with truth serum, he would tell you that he thinks that Pat Mahomes has a higher ceiling than Alex Smith does. And I'm running out of any reason. I have no more reasons. I'm out of reasons. I'm entirely out of reasons for why the Chiefs shouldn't make the move to Mahomes now. And also, if I can't convince you with any of those arguments, which we'll do in a second, this offense is obviously right now completely incompetent. You're not going to keep doing the exact same thing and expect different results.
Is it just the trade value argument?
That's one of them, but it's another one that I don't get. So,
I'm assuming you wouldn't want to bench the guy you're trying to trade because then it says the signal that not even you trust him that much.
Tyrod Taylor is going to get a contract this offseason. He got benched for 30 minutes. If Mahomes comes out and plays great, it probably does hurt the trade value. You know what's really trashing Alex Smith's trade value right now? His play.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Alex Smith's current actual performance is what is currently submarining his trade value. Also, Danny Parkins, who used to host a show in Kansas City, said preserving trade value is not a reason to keep playing Alex Smith. He's the definition of a known quantity. I think this is smart here. Someone will trade for his high floor and manageable contract regardless of how he's played the last five games and if he plays in the next five. Alex Smith is better than Blake Bortles. He's better than Blaine Gabbert. He would make a lot of sense for Denver, Jacksonville, Arizona, maybe Washington if Kirk Cousins moves. He makes sense as a stopgap while you develop your quarterback. It's what he is right now. It's what he ended up being in San Francisco. That's what Alex Smith is. I just said is so hard that my top teeth hit my bottom teeth, like from behind, like I overbit, I underbit.
That sounds painful.
It hurt. It hurt a lot.
I wouldn't do that again.
I'm going to try not to. I'm trying to figure out how I did that. Like my top teeth got behind my bottom teeth. And then I look like a bulldog probably. Must have been great for the Facebook page. Anyway. I'm not interested in five more games of finding out what Alex Smith really is. We know so clearly. Maybe you could have fooled another team a little bit after the first 5 weeks. You're going, ooh, look at how good we made Alex Smith. But I think that any NFL GM who isn't fooling himself is going to look at Alex Smith and go, yep, I know what he is. Savior? No. Promised land? No. Competent? While we develop somebody? Absolutely. I mean, like, would the Packers have loved to have Alex Smith for these weeks that Aaron Rodgers was out? Yep. That's what you can expect from Alex Smith. I don't think that him getting benched, it would really change his trade value. Also, it's not like that him getting benched shows other teams that the Chiefs are serious about Mahomes. Everybody knows already. Pat Mahomes, and I've been saying this since the day he was drafted, he's going to start day one of 2018. This will be Patrick Mahomes' team. Everybody knows that. The whole NFL is aware of that fact. The last few weeks of Alex Smith's play have absolutely demolished any chance of that not being the case. So it's not betrayed value. And Seth Kaiser put out a good piece, as he always does. We'll probably talk to him later in the week. Taking on some of the questions that people are giving, or some of the reasons people are giving for not moving to Mahomes now, I will happily debunk all of them. And Seth's also done that. I'm going to do them differently, I'm sure. But here are some of the top questions that got, some of the top reasonings that came in. Starting Mahomes means giving up for the playoffs. The Chiefs are in the hunt. They can't go with a rookie quarterback down the stretch. The veterans will mutiny. And I've seen this from several people. From Jeff Schwartz, who's really been weird on Twitter recently. I don't really know. He has some really good stuff and some stuff that seems very petty. Whatever, though. People are saying, you can't bench Alex Smith while you're leading the division. First of all, they're leading the division by one game now. So if they lose next week and the Chargers win next week and they're tied for the lead in the division, does that logic change? What if they lose next week at the Jets and then they lose the next week against the Chargers? What then? Or excuse me, against the Raiders. And then the Raiders or the Chargers jump them. And then they have the Chargers the next week. What then? You know, no, I'm not Travis Kelce. God, I wish I was, though. I'm not Travis Kelce. But if I was, I think I would be perfectly okay with seeing a change of quarterback. What feels more like punting the rest of this season? Honestly, we'll put this on the poll eventually. It's a very sportsy poll, but I'll put it on the poll. What feels more like punting this season? 5 games of Pat Mahomes or 5 more games of Alex Smith? What feels more hopeless? 5 more games of Smith and then you roll up into Pittsburgh in the first round? Or I guess at this point, you would probably still get the home game, winning the division. You get the Chargers at home, something like that. Do you have a whole lot of hope there? I would have more hope for the rest of the season with Pat Mahomes. It's one of the things I said before the year. Remember the farthest out on a limb that I went this preseason. The farthest out onto the limb that I went was whenever I said, you know what? I think the Chiefs would have a better chance in the playoffs if they just started Mahomes day one. I think that gives the Chiefs a better chance to beat the Steelers and the Patriots in the playoffs than sticking with Alex Smith for another year. Because Alex Smith is, again, the definition of a known quantity. And if the Chiefs miss the playoffs by going with Mahomes, you can write it off because this season wasn't going anywhere anyway. You can't tell me you're wasting a golden opportunity here. You clearly are not, because this has been a meltdown. The whole team is bad. Yesterday, Alex Smith led the team in rushing. The offense is decrepit. And I think you can inject a jolt of energy into this offense with a quarterback that defenses have to respect. And I don't think defenses respect Alex Smith a whole lot right now. another response that Seth takes on. He's taken it on better than I even could, because he's got gifts in film breakdown and more knowledge of Alex Smith's film than anybody else on the planet, genuinely, other than maybe other people paid to be in the NFL. It's not about Andy Reid's system. This isn't an Andy Reid problem. Now, listen, I understand the anger. I understand at least thinking that Andy Reid has not managed this perfectly. I would agree with you. But I want to see Andy Reid with Pat Mahomes leading off his system. Unless you genuinely believe that Andy Reid's offense is screen-based and check-down-based, ignoring a lot of evidence over a lot of years, then this cannot be about Andy Reid. It's Andy Reid. I've been saying this for weeks now. It's Andy Reid working to his quarterback's limitations. And the problem so far has been that Pat Mahomes, the beginning of the year, would have limited this offense more than Alex Smith would have, because Mahomes was just entering this offense. Right now, Alex Smith is playing like the most limited quarterback in football. I'm not here to freak out at Andy Reid. We'll hear from Andy Reid later on. He talked to the media today and said a few interesting things. What about the offensive line? This is an interesting conversation, because it's really baffling to me that people are watching the same things I'm watching and seeing something so different. This is not about the offensive line. It hasn't been great, but the offensive line in front of Alex Smith has to be immaculate for Alex Smith to trust it. If it's not, if it is not absolutely flawless, then Alex Smith is going to keep dancing back there. He's going to keep checking it down. He's going to keep dropping back so far that he walks into pressure. Brandon Kiley tweeted, "It's got to be infuriating, the pass block for Alex Smith when he's playing like this. He drops into pressure, then runs into more pressure way too often." Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman for Alex Smith, tweets, "Alex drops to 12 yards, and you can't wait to blame the offensive line." Late in the third quarter, we saw Alex Smith doing a peak disastrous Alex Smith thing. He started to bail way too early, and then he Tebowed and ran right into the grasp of a Buffalo Bill. It's not an offensive line problem. There are things that aren't great, but Alex Smith has been disastrous. And again, we'll hear from Andy Reid later on. We'll talk more about the reasons that I'm ready for the Patrick Mahomes experience. Also, if you want to call the show, you can do it at 913-491-8255. That is 913 Tyler Palco, Tom Bahali, Dwayne Bowe, D. Ford. Because I know my audience. It's also the name of a whole bunch of basic, either actually or essentially retired Chiefs players. Which is sad. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to Almost Entirely Sports. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was calling in. I talked to you not too long ago, but I was calling in last week. I mean, I said it last week. I feel like just the leadership from Alex Smith just isn't there, because, I mean, you look at the quarterback situation around any sports team, you know, and I feel like the quarterback is mostly the leader, usually takes, you know, full fall for any offensive struggle. You know, you look at, you know, your Drew Brees and your Tom Brady. And, I mean, even your Cam Newton, you know, Cam Newton will even take, you know, fault at, you know, if there's offensive struggles. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Alex Smith just stays quiet whenever there's struggles, and I feel like he doesn't say anything, you know. I feel like he's a quiet guy. Yeah, that's him. But, I mean, in order for us to make that power run to the playoffs, through the playoffs, beat Pittsburgh, beat Patriots, if we meet them in the championship, it takes that leadership and that fire from your quarterback. And I feel like Alex Smith just does not have it, whether he's winning or losing. So, I mean, maybe Patrick Mahomes has, you know, a little bit more fire. You know, sometimes you can take, you know, that passion for, you know, some of the mistakes that he might throw, because, granted, they're going to be there. But, I mean, I feel like it's worth it just to, you know, maybe give him some snaps in practice and see, you know, at that. Maybe let's see how that goes. But I don't, yeah. I mean, It's this offensive struggle that I don't see us coming out of unless we make a major change. And, you know, maybe Patrick Mahomes comes in and he plays like crap, and we decide that maybe Alex Smith gives him another chance. I mean, who knows? But we still just have to explore it, just because if we keep going down the path that we're on now, I feel like we may not even make the playoffs. The Chargers may come through, or the Raiders may come back. Because, granted, they're only a game back. We lose next week, and they win next week.
Yep.
They're right there with us. So we really don't have the time and just the patience, honestly, just to sit back and see, oh, well, let's see if Alex Smith is going to come out and, you know, play like that MVP. Because, honestly, that was the best time of his life.
Yep.
The first 5 weeks. He hasn't played that good ever. I don't see him ever playing that good again. So, if you ask me, I mean, you just, when it comes to Alex Smith, it's either you got to see it from him, you know, during this week in practice, or you just got to, you know, maybe pull him to the side and let him know his job is on the line.
I appreciate the call, and I think you got a bunch of things pretty on the nose there. One of the things is that, no, you're right, Alex Smith doesn't really emote or speak like the leader of this offense because he's not. And I don't know if that's a knock on Alex Smith necessarily, but the leader of this offense is Andy Reid. And again, sorry to keep teasing something we're not going to play yet. But you'll hear Andy Reid take the fall. Andy Reid is very good at falling on the sword and for the offensive struggles. And he will do it again here. We'll hear later on. And I'm at a point now also, this offense is absolutely stuck in a funk that you cannot expect to just sort of rise up out of. Here's one theory that I do have, and by the way that Alex Smith has played very differently, I think there's a really good chance that Alex Smith is hurt right now, and maybe Andy Reid, it feels like he's buying time until Alex Smith is less injured, and then the offense sparks back up again. But here's the thing about that, though. If this is the conspiracy theory you want to go with, it's even more insane to keep trotting out a hurt Alex Smith than it is to keep just trotting out a normal, straight-up bad Alex Smith.
Yeah, that's what I was...
It's bonkers!
Yeah, I was going to say, the best way to not, or to get less hurt is not to play hurt.
But it's obviously, he can physically go out there, and he can take a shot to the spleen as he scrambles for the sticks.
Cool, that's still not the best idea in the world.
It's the only idea in the world if you want to keep him impervious to the incoming meteor that is Pat Mahomes. If you want to protect your quarterback, not physically, obviously, but if you want to protect your quarterback's job, maybe Andy Reid thought, you know what, this is a nagging injury, he's got to play through it, we'll keep him out there, maybe he'll be able to bust through it and it won't be a problem. If that is a conspiracy theory you're willing to buy into, which I'm willing to do to some extent. I don't think that Alex Smith is exactly physically right. But it's a really horrendous reason to keep your quarterback out there. It's bonkers. And so the offensive line, where we were just a second ago, the offensive line has to be perfect for Alex Smith to be comfortable. That's not true for Patrick Mahomes. I tweeted out a video earlier today at JB Briscoe. I just know where my Twitter is if you're listening now. But I tweeted out a video earlier of Patrick Mahomes being completely, brutally, horrifically overmatched at the point of the offensive and defensive line. Texas Tech was playing LSU, and Texas Tech was running out JV offensive linemen against a front seven of NFL-sized human beings. Mahomes was scrambling all day and escaping all day, standing tall in a messy pocket all day. Go watch the video and tell me if that doesn't hype you up a little bit. Because it is... it's amazing, especially, and this isn't, you know, kind, I guess, but especially when juxtaposed opposite of Alex Smith, you go like, oh man, that's how a quarterback is supposed to play. It's startling. It is a startling shift in tone to watch Patrick Mahomes play against LSU with a broken offensive line, to see how he handles that pressure. His eyes are up. He knows where everything is around him. I don't know if it's a sixth sense or if he has just very good pocket vision and a very good pocket presence. But he knows, man. He knows where the pressure is coming from without looking down and scrambling around, without dropping his eyes and then trying to find a lane. He just kind of moves. He's kind of, whoop, let's go over here and try it. Let's step up here. And then it's a cannon. And this is another thing about Alex Smith. Another reason that Alex Smith has to be so timid in the pocket is because he needs his feet to stay clean. Whenever Alex Smith feels phantom pressure, he drops back on that back foot sometimes and then tries to kind of like crescent moon throw it, you know, like it's a like an NFL street kind of move. He doesn't have the arm strength to do that. Mahomes does. We talked about him being able to throw from different platforms in the preseason. Pat Mahomes can throw off his back foot at an angle and just sort of zip it in, you know, 15 yards downfield. There was one play I watched where he had dropped back like 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage to escape, and then he sort of just zipped it like 20 yards with a little sidearm thing, and it was perfect, and it was a first down. He's not going to be ruined by this offensive line. No chance. He's too comfortable behind bad offensive lines. This offensive line is going to be a treat for Patrick Mahomes whenever he gets here. It's another thing that I'm simply not concerned about. I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes turning the ball over too many times. I'm not worried about him being a rookie and a gunslinger. I'm not worried about him making rookie mistakes. Alex Smith took no risks yesterday through a game-ending interception after a game-ending incompletion and several drive-ending incompletions. Plus, he took a 16-yard sack whenever he could have just thrown the ball away. Alex Smith yesterday made a bunch of rookie mistakes with veteran timidity. No thank you. And it's also not a reason he's better than Pat Mahomes. Also, if you're worried about Mahomes not being ready, he's been in the system for a while now. I do think that he would have to work in some form of a limited offense, but Alex Smith started day one in Kansas City whenever he was brought in. And he worked with a limited version of Andy Reid's system. I get it. But right now, Andy Reid can go ahead and use his erasable marker to block out a few sections of the playbook that Pat Mahomes hasn't learned yet, or that he's not comfortable yet letting Mahomes run yet, and then erase the marker that covers them up, open those plays back up as he learns more, or he can keep using the disastrous paper snowflake that he's using for Alex Smith right now.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Play with me!
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, another anti-Mahomes kind of argument here that I think... Oh wow, I was going to say, Beard, you killed that music really fast. Oh, it's the closed music.
Yeah, I had to get
that's
to
fine,
quick.
We got it, we're good. Ivan, who tweets the show all the time, and I appreciate Ivan. But he says, we need to finish the season with Alex and hope for the best. Draft better talent in the draft. Here's the thing, though. Look at the Green Bay Packers. How different have the Packers looked with Aaron Rodgers versus Brett Hundley? Quarterbacks elevate or limit the talent around them so often. It's everywhere in the NFL. So, listen, do the Chiefs have problems? Sure. Or do they need to continue to get better other places? Of course. But I think this offense and this offensive talent would look so incredibly different with Pat Mahomes at quarterback as opposed to Alex Smith. Not all of it good, even. I'm sure there would be a few mistakes that you would be sick at. But one way or another, I am 100% ready to see it.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
Again, if this is the first time listening to the show, I'm not going to spend the whole show telling you all the reasons that Patrick Mahomes should start next week.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow's show. Will we eventually talk about, you know, should Patrick Mahomes take over the Chiefs? Sure, we'll eventually talk about Patrick Mahomes taking over the Chiefs. Tomorrow we'll start by talking about what I would do if I was in Andy Reid's shoes. First of all, I'd buy smaller shoes.
Donuts!
You can mark this for forever, Beards. The Chiefs are probably going to win or lose a couple more games from here on out. Like, who really knows? The Chiefs are going to finish somewhere between 9-7 and a Super Bowl this year. If I'm wrong about that, then I'll build my own rocket to fly into the sun. You ever wondered what it sounds like for 4 tickets to hit a microphone? It
was no, but I know now.
It's very sonically pleasing, if I'm being honest. Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
Actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance. Piglet would be a great slot receiver. And Alex Smith would throw the ball to him 50 times a game, while Tigger is literally bouncing down the sidelines, wide open 40 yards downfield. Christopher Robin is just on his face. He's a terrible corner. No ball skills at all. Tigger just streaking downfield.
Best running back ever.
Alex Smith just checks it down to Piglet.
I mean, that was really good. That was maybe our best work. Good work, Beards, on the production of that.
If you're new to the show, that's what you missed from last week on the show. Beards puts them together. I don't hear them until they go live. Most of the time, that works out. But last week was apparently a good set of shows. I said if we had another 9-point performance, I would not be able to hold back the Mahomes. 10 points, just barely holding them back, with my fingernails.
Also, that was only from 3 days worth of stuff. I didn't even include the stuff that we did on BTL on Friday.
Oh yeah, wow.
And no show Thursday.
Wow, that's amazing. It was really good. My line about Alex Smith's homies.
It was good.
Very, very good. All that Winnie the Pooh talk, very good.
It was very good.
Donuts, very funny.
Everything else is going to get turned into liners.
Yeah, it's really good.
Which, speaking of which, I made about 40 new ones today.
Fantastic. Do you also turn the Last Week On material into liners?
Some of the stuff gets reused. Like some of the stuff
you
that
should.
I, yeah, some
you
of the
should.
Stuff that I use in the Last Week On gets turned into liners. Some of the stuff is more time sensitive. So
sure,
like, I won't turn that into a liner just because it won't make sense.
Which
in
one?
6 months.
Which one?
I don't know. Just
you got to use most of that. The Piglet stuff.
Oh yeah,
choice.
No. There's a lot of those that are good.
The 9-point thing, that's fine. I get it. But most of that stuff should be heard by the masses forever.
Like, some of the stuff I didn't include was, like, the Billy Preston stuff. Some of the stuff
right.
We talked about, like, his
that's
shoes
fine.
In Adidas.
Right.
Or his cars in Adidas.
That's also very funny,
it
though.
Is funny, but it's not as funny in a year when Billy Preston's
in the
NBA.
You think this show's going to be here in a year? Or, even hey, crazy,
I'm,
you think we'll be using that liner for a year from now? How often do those liners get
I'm wishing.
Used? Those liners probably get used twice.
Yeah, some of them get used more than twice.
Love it. Good work, good week of shows last week. Good work there, Beards. I wasn't even aware of the fact that we had a ton of comments on the Facebook page, so we will now respond to some of those and do more here in a second. RJ just said, wait, you followed a carrot, but you won't give your boy a follow? That's true. I followed a carrot on Twitter, and I did not follow RJ. I just now followed RJ. But, yeah, I did follow a carrot first. Brandon says, Andy Reid is why this offense is bad. The offense is so cookie-cutter, people at home know what he's going to call. Surely the NFL knows what he's going to run. Listen, man. Andy Reid's offense has never been cookie-cutter. Sometimes it's been too imaginative for its own good.
Travis Kelce going deep! Tyreek Hill going deep!
Check down. And that's it. It's Travis Kelce throws a pick. Tyreek Hill throws a pick. Alex Smith throws 47 checkdown passes. That's not what Andy Reid is calling, man. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. If you have any way to watch the All-22 tape, do it, and then watch the passing plays that end up in checkdowns. I promise you Andy Reid is not dialing up checkdowns. I promise you that Alex Smith is going to them. Some of the screens, sure. Because, again, also, Andy Reid is working to his quarterback. I know I can't necessarily prove all of this all at once right now, but I would ask for patience on Andy Reid. Or at least I'm giving Andy Reid patience. I'm going to wait until Reed has Patrick Mahomes, and then we'll see. If Mahomes is out there throwing checkdowns 20 times a game, if Mahomes has a game where he has 24 passes that travel less than 10 yards downfield, and it was like 10 passes that travel beyond that, then I will start to say, what is Andy Reid asking him to do? Right now, though, I think Andy Reid is asking Alex Smith to do as little as possible, and it's not working. So that's where I'm at on that one. RJ said also, what's the worst situation for to put your rookie quarterback in? A don't lose the division scenario or a quick get the division back scenario? I don't quite understand the idea that we can't turn the reins over to Mahomes until the division completely sifts through our fingers. I get that, man. I don't know why. I don't know why you would say, you know what, you can only let the rookie play whenever the season's over. What if the Texans did that? Now, obviously, the Texans ended up losing Deshaun Watson to an injury. But why would you cut yourself off there? I understand you want to preserve the status quo if that is what is on your mind. But the Chiefs should not want to preserve their status quo right now. They shouldn't be trying to say, you know what, we want to keep it where we are because we're leading the division. The Chiefs are not winning the division right now because of the status quo of Alex Smith. Right now, the division is slipping away because of the status quo of Alex Smith. So I think that logic is completely backwards. Clinton says it's too much to ask of a quarterback to throw the football. The man's willingly jumping into a defender on the sidelines to not even get the first down, rather than actually throwing the football past line of scrimmage. There's something mental with Alex Smith, man. He knows he's not going to turn the ball over whenever he goes around the edge, whenever he runs for the first down marker. He knows he's not going to give the ball to the other team. I think that's the mental block that's the most frustrating for Alex Smith. If Alex Smith also threw interceptions, he'd be out of the league. That's his whole deal. I don't know if that's, you know, if he would have had Andy Reid from day one, if he would have been a different quarterback. I don't know if he got broken in San Francisco. I don't know if it's who he is. I would imagine that if you're Alex Smith and you believe that there's any chance that you were conditioned to this, you would probably have a hard time sleeping at night because you could have been a better NFL quarterback if you weren't conditioned to this. But that's where he is, and he is conditioned to not turning the ball over. That's what he is. RJ has also given us a new way of saying the phone number. I usually say 913 Tyler. What are you? 913 Tyler Thigpen, Tom Bahali, Dwayne Bowe, D. Ford. But he's also updated it to not. I don't have to say the area code anymore because it can be Tom Bahali, Jean Sinnerud, Daniel Sorensen, Lawrence Tynes, Dwayne Bowe, D. Ford. Probably gonna stick with mine. Cause you brought two kickers into it. Unacceptable. Jeremy says he's seen some footage and people tell me he looks pumped up and ready to come in. I'm ready for him to come in. Jeremy says only hard-headed people want to keep Smith in. Yeah, I don't really get it at this point. I really don't. I don't know how you can argue that in any way, shape, or form this is the better thing for the franchise. Whenever I was having this conversation in the preseason, I got it. I understood that a lot of people believe that Alex Smith gave the Chiefs the best chance to get to the playoffs, and I agreed with that. I disagreed by saying that I think that Pat Mahomes probably had the better chance of getting the Chiefs farther into the playoffs. I would never know if I was right there. And that was out on a limb. But that's an argument you can't have anymore. That's all, like, irrelevant at this point. You don't know. You don't know what you're getting, I guess, from Patrick Mahomes. You have to believe that he's the better thing for the Chiefs in every context right now. Maybe Alex Smith gives you the better chance to beat the Jets next week. But don't you think Pat Mahomes would have given you a better chance against the Bills and the Giants? I certainly do. Neither of those teams respected this offense at all. Last week, the offense scored 0 points. Or 0 touchdowns, excuse me. Last week, the Chiefs' offense scored no touchdowns. Mahomes could not have been giving the Chiefs a worse chance. They scored one touchdown this week on a screen. Mahomes could not have given them a worse chance. What about for the future? Yeah, I think that it would be nice to have Mahomes get 5 games under his belt, 6 or 7 if they win a playoff game. Going into next year, you have some NFL experience under your belt. It's the better thing for the future. At this point, Mahomes is the better thing for now. he's at least probably he's at least probably the better thing for now, and I we know it's the best thing for the future. It's not about Smith's trade value, the offensive line. None of that matters. We should be past all of that. Also, Anthony says, Andy Reid's offense is cookie cutter. Everyone in the NFL has copied Reid's offense with huge success. He's calling the plays Smith is comfortable with. Smith chooses to be a 1-2 read quarterback. Checkdowns are not what Reid calls. I'm with you, Anthony. It's a good comment. It's just, at this point, it's really hard to argue. It's hard to even find where Alex Smith is the better option. He's been terrible. And again, maybe he's hurt. Maybe Alex Smith is banged up right now. Someone was saying maybe it was something about his off shoulder. And again, if so, fine. Get him out of there. If the Chiefs have been playing an injured Alex Smith, conspiracy theory, no information, I don't know. Just somebody brought it up on Twitter, and I think it's reasonable. If the Chiefs have been playing an injured Alex Smith the last few weeks, they've cost themselves games to avoid a quarterback controversy, which is garbage. If Mahomes were to come in for an injured Alex Smith and play well enough to cause a quarterback controversy, then not only are you still winning the AFC West by a good margin, you might still be in the race for the 1 or 2 seed. Drives me completely bonkers. I'm out of arguments to take on. I'm out of responses to the arguments. I'm just tired of it. Also, my mother has now taken on Travis Kelce. BH, can you read that comment for us, please?
Oh, I did totally see that comment. It's not all Smith's fault. Receivers misreads and pouty kicking the turf, baby butt pouting, give up bleep attitude from Kelce. A team captain sure isn't helpful.
All right, so Rodney Harrison pointed this out last night on Sunday Night Football. I think it was in the pregame. And I thought Rodney Harrison sounded like an idiot. Rodney Harrison, as I'm sure you know, the impetus of clean, buttoned up, always head on straight, arguably the dirtiest football player of all time, who also got caught cheating with steroids. Was it steroids? Beards, fine for me. Hold on. Let's go. Can you play me some music, Beards? I got to... Because I do want to criticize Rodney. Did I say call him something other than Rodney Harrison? His name is... Okay, good. We're thinking we're good. I almost called him Rodney Smith. Thank you. Rodney Harrison steroids. Let's see. I want to at least get this right. September 2nd, 2007... New England Patriots strong safety Rodney Harrison has been suspended for the first 4 regular season games after violating the NFL substance abuse policy. He acknowledged the suspension late Friday night conference call, admitting that he obtained human growth hormone, but said he had never taken steroids. There we go. Rodney Harrison is a terrible messenger for this. And yes, Travis Kelce did like throw his arms up in disgust after Alex Smith threw an interception to a defensive back like 10 yards away from him. Which, by the way, the return from the defensive back did not matter. The time was up. The Bills took a knee on the rest of the game, if I remember correctly. Like, listen, I understand that there are problems here. Travis Kelce's not the problem. Travis Kelce's not one of your top 15 problems. Travis Kelce had 3 catches for 39 yards yesterday on 4 targets. Wow, this is stunning. I didn't even realize that Tyreek Hill had 7 receptions and 11 targets. One of the best speedy deep threats in football. Tyreek Hill, 7 receptions, 41 yards.
Your mom also doesn't like
Rodney Harrison.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I've seen the video. I've seen the video of Travis Kelce after the interception. He's sad that Alex Smith threw an interception that ended the game. and the tackling after the play did not matter. Jeremy said, I'd be pouting too if I was Kelce and was wide open in the middle of the field and you throw an interception into a double covered receiver to end the game. I agree. I would also be pouting. Like, you're running, you're out there, and this is a weird thing that I don't think people fully get. Like, can you imagine being a guy in the trenches or even a receiver, or especially, you know, a tight end, kind of a cross between the two, and you're just getting your head bashed in for 60 minutes every week, and you look back at the guy you're protecting, and he's completing 60% of his passes, he's thrown 4 touchdowns and 4 picks in the last 4 games with like a 78 passer rating. Oh, man. NFL Network just showed a Pat Mahomes highlight from the preseason.
Oh, no. I was waiting because I was
God. Oh, it's so beautiful.
I was going to, as you were talking, I was just going to wait for a pause and go, NFL Total Access, lower third headline. Is it time to bench Alex Smith? But you weren't taking a pause, and then you just barreled into the Mahomes stuff.
That's what I do.
Yeah. No, those were pretty throws.
Pat Mahomes had 380 yards, I think it said, in the preseason. He did that on 4 completions. I don't care if it's true or not. It's what I believe. Also, the ball traveled in the air for all of those. There were no yards after the catch. He just took the snap at the 1-yard line, dropped into his own end zone, threw it to the other end zone, and DeMarcus Robinson just hopped up and caught it. It just makes me sick, man. And again, I understand other problems. But look at what quarterbacks do to the talent around them. Look at how Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler, look what they've done to the Broncos. Oof. Like, because you mentioned earlier that they're hot garbage.
Oof.
And they are.
Oh, that's
again,
bad.
Smoke and fuego garbage.
Oh, boy.
Do you think they'd look like hot garbage if they had a decent quarterback?
Not so much.
If they had a decent quarterback, the 3-8 right now in a division being led by a 6-5 team with 2 5-6 teams.
Just the quarterback carousel, the revolving door.
If they had a decent quarterback,
Broncos.
Yes. If Matt Stafford was the quarterback of the Broncos would be 5-6 or 6-5, right, with everybody else in the AFC West. Matt Stafford would have done it. You can give him anybody decent, give them a top 15 quarterback instead of a bottom 40. And you're going to have a completely different experience. Everything's going to look different. The Chiefs are having that problem right now. And also, again, he's not going to get hurt behind this offensive line. He's not going to make it any worse. I didn't expect to be at this point. I really didn't, but at this point, I don't think you can make an argument for this season or for the long term that Mahomes would not be the better option. Also, Andy Reid talked about all that today. Whenever we come back, we'll hear from Andy Reid and hear how he said something and nothing all at the same time.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Mahomes on the range. Where they allow some deep plays.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Where seldom is heard a failed third down conversion. And Albert Wilson never sees the light of day.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I've redone that song, by the way. Did I send you the audio of that, Beards?
I don't think so.
It's really good. Okay. I wrote it down. And I've been trying to figure out exactly how to debut it. Like, how we can bring it to the masses.
Do we wait until he actually makes his debut?
I think so.
Okay.
But I can't sing also. Like, I don't... And it's not... I think it should literally...
That doesn't matter.
I think it should explode, though. Like, I want to...
You want this to actually be something.
Yes. Unlike this show. I can't even, like... I can't explain how much I want this to be a thing. Yeah. As if that last version wasn't a perfect song. All right, so Andy Reid spoke today to the media, and I have three little clips of him. One's 30 seconds, one's a minute and a half, one's a minute. And I actually thought this one might have been the most... they're all interesting. This one was the most surprising, I'll say that. This is the most surprising. Andy Reid essentially told us what Buffalo did defensively on Sunday and told us why the Chiefs didn't beat it.
Yeah, what the team did yesterday was they put an extra guy in the box. And, you know, that was their answer to the run game. They brought the extra guy, right? They brought five. Played zone behind it. Press on the outside. I mean, that's how they went about it. So you got to do certain things to counter that. I think we did that very well from my standpoint or the execution standpoint. So
sounds like a defeated coach. They stacked the box. They made you try to go downfield, and you couldn't. You didn't. And really, honestly, today Alex Smith getting benched might be the top story in NFL in football today, because I keep looking up, and it's SportsCenter, it's PTI, it's around the horn, it's everywhere. People are noticing. And also the pick at the end sort of put the punctuation mark on it. If he would have thrown a touchdown that last drive, everything would have been different. But the pick at the end makes this a national story, by the way. So, but Reid says they're, you know, they stack the box. You can't get the run game going whenever they've got an extra guy in the box. They're bringing a fifth guy. So they're blitzing Alex Smith. I think I saw he had a zero passer rating while being blitzed yesterday, at least at a certain point. So the clear thing here is, well, you got to get rid of the ball. If they're not going to respect, they're not afraid of you doing something outside of the run game. They're going to stop the run game. They're gonna stack the box. They're going to bring pressure on Alex Smith. So what do you do? You got to go deep. So here's Andy Reid talking about the downfield passing game.
Yeah, I think. I think it's everybody. I think we've all got a piece of this. So I'm not saying it's Alex. It starts with me because I'm the one giving them the plays. But I would tell you, every play there's a little something, and it kind of spreads out to different positions. And when you're not quite in sync, that's what takes place, right? There's a breakdown here or there. And you're not able to point it at one exact person. There's a flow here of one guy doing something, you know, that needs to be better. And that's what we've got to do. And then you got to make sure that you're putting them in position to do that. I mean, that's give them the right looks against the right defensive looks, so on. So
26 plays inside of 10 yards for the offense yesterday in the passing game. Is that affecting the run game adversely too, if you've got so much so close to the line of scrimmage offensively?
It depends on what the defense is doing. So you saw that I know you say this, but they were bringing an extra guy right from the start. And so, you know, there's times when you have to get the ball out relatively quick. And so that's what we did. Can we get more downfield throws? We probably could. You know, I mean, that's part of it. But again, early in the game, that's what they were doing.
Did you call more downfield in that game that you felt like you guys just didn't have enough time to get to?
Yeah, I could have done better there. I probably could have done a lot better than that.
Andy Reid's really good at falling on the sword. So it's going to sound like I'm nitpicking, but I really don't mean to. But some of the things at the end there are the rare instances in which he has actually been critical of Alex Smith, or at least where he's like shown just a little bit of a willingness to, where it's, you know, yeah, we could have done some more stuff downfield. Oh, no, I should have been better. It's my fault we didn't do more downfield, but we needed to do more downfield. We know, if you're paying attention, you know that Andy Reid was drawing up some downfield stuff. You know that was in the game plan. You know that got called. And also, you know that I'm sure at some point, if there is a place to blame Andy Reid, I'm sure at some point he gets tired of asking Alex Smith to go deep and then watching Alex Smith not do it. And eventually, I guess if I was in Andy Reid's shoes, I would eventually stop calling the deep stuff if he's going to check down every time. Because if he checks down every time, you're not getting at least the best of Alex Smith that you can get. So you dial up some mid-range stuff. You dial up some short stuff. You start throwing screens. Because you know he's at least comfortable throwing screens. I get it. I understand that line of thinking. Now listen to this exchange. This is the last clip we're going to play from Andy Reid today. But listen to this exchange. There's a couple of questions in different ways asked to Andy Reid about Alex Smith being the quarterback from here on out. And I think this is a very honest Andy Reid, a relatively insightful Andy Reid, and a good clip. So listen to how Andy Reid, this was the end of the press conference today, how he talked about the future of the quarterback situation.
Andy, I might have misunderstood your answer to my earlier question. I just want to make sure I'm clear. Alex is your guy?
Yeah, Alex is my guy. Yeah.
But just a follow-up to that, Coach. I mean, you made a change before. But I know you don't like this, but this is the subject that's on a lot of people's minds. Would you say categorically he's your guy as long as he's healthy? There's no chance of that
yeah, so the, change? Yeah, so without getting philosophical, and I'm not one to, I'm not sitting here with a crystal ball and projecting things like that. That's not how I roll. We've all got a responsibility to do our job at all positions. And we're starting with me. And that's not getting done the right way. Right? It's not one guy. And that has to be understood. It's not one person. And we've all got to pull together as a football team, in this case, an offensive football team right now, and get that taken care of as a team, not one guy. Okay? And that's about as clear as I can be. All right, thank you.
I mean, that's not as clear as you can make it. It's definitely not as clear as you can make it. The question was Serena asking, can you say categorically that Alex Smith is your guy for the rest of the year, barring injury? And then Reed did get philosophical, which is fine. His answer was good, but it wasn't as clear as you could make it. His answer wasn't yes. His answer was, we got a lot of problems. I just watched that play where Mahomes rolled out right and then got crushed on the pass and then completed just a beautiful deep shot. Just amazing. It wasn't as clear as you could make it, but I think it was honest. I think it was cleared for a couple of things. I think you're going to have a really hard time getting Andy Reid to say much of anything definitively. He said, you know, Andy's my guy, whatever that means. I mean, Alex is my guy, whatever that means. That doesn't really mean anything intrinsically. I don't think Andy Reid's going to say that. Obviously, he's not going to say that there's no changes coming, because you don't want to seem like you're knocking Mahomes. You don't want to make Alex Smith seem like he's on the hot seat, but we all know. At this point, I would still be surprised to see the Chiefs make that move. I also think that they would probably prefer to have Mahomes get his first start at home in a friendly environment, but it's going to be a tough stretch. Now, it does feel kind of right that maybe it's at home versus the Raiders, a defense in disarray. It wouldn't be a terrible place for a young quarterback to get a start at home versus the Raiders. And then the Chargers next week, and it'd be an immediate matchup with a difficult pass rush. But the Chiefs could be a 500 football team. Like, the Jets have been so much better than I expected them to be. And the Chiefs have to go play at New York next week. In the stadium they just went and lost to the Giants. I know Andy Reid keeps talking about a team. It's a team problem. And I get it. I understand it's a team problem. And he wants to tell you it's a coaching problem. I understand. It's a team problem. I get it. But that doesn't change the largest current problem, which is the quarterback. The biggest problem is the quarterback, and you have an option there. You think Eric Fisher hasn't been very good? That's fine. What do you want to do about it? You want to start Cam Irving? I'll tell you what, you don't. If you do, you shouldn't. You worried about the defense? Stop it. Stop being worried about the defense. Oh, but okay, you want to, what do you think? The corners aren't good enough? All right, Darrelle Revis is coming in next week. They tried making a change there. Was that overreacting? Was that blaming the wrong people? You blame Terrence Mitchell? Brought on his replacement? I think you're good, man. I think you can go ahead and make changes. The problem with Kareem Hunt? Okay, what's your solution? Play Tarkendrick Westmore? Nah, no thank you. You don't have another replacement waiting in the wings. Andy Reid's the problem? Okay. Head coach Matt Nagy. No. The biggest problem is also the position on the field where the replacement is there waiting. That's the quarterback. Mahomes is waiting. Smith's the biggest current problem. Maybe he's hurt. If he's hurt, he shouldn't be out there. Maybe he's nosediving. If he's nosediving, he shouldn't be out there. You're concerned about breaking Pat Mahomes? You're not going to break Pat Mahomes. He's been behind a bad offensive line his entire career. Going up against the Raiders defense, not this week but next, would not cost him. So, yeah, I would have just made the move today. I think I would have. I'm not worried about Alex with the trade value. It would have made a whole lot more sense for him to have lost his job because you liked your rookie, not because you hated how Alex was playing. It would have been better for his trade value. I get it. But these last few weeks are the reasons that Alex with the trade value has been submarined. Not because the Chiefs bench him, if they do. And really, at this point, like, you could tell all of us that he ended up with a spleen injury from that hit, powered through the game, adrenaline wore off, and now he won't be available next week. If you want to protect Alex Smith in that way, lie to me if you want. But make the move that's best for the current team, perhaps, and certainly the better move for the future. By the way, on the defensive side of things, as we talk about how it's a team problem, and Reed called out the offense specifically because it is an offensive problem, but the defense was good again for something to be optimistic about. They bailed the offense out a lot. They were on the field a lot. They were put into bad field position situations a lot because of all the punting that the Chiefs are doing offensively, and they even gave the Chiefs a couple of chances at a game-winning drive. The defense did everything you could ask for. Here's something else to be optimistic about. You got to feel pretty good about Brett Veach's moves to address the inside linebacker problem this year. Kevin Pierre-Lewis has been playing really well. Reggie Ragland looks like a monster. And I like that trade whenever it happened because he's a guy that has crazy talent who got hurt and was put into a system that didn't work very well for him. This seems right. This seems like the exact kind of investment you want to make. So if you're looking for something to be optimistic about, I like what Brett Veach has done. I like the pieces that he picked to bring in to the one of the biggest places of need. And maybe it ends up working again with Darrelle Revis. I'd be happy with that as well. But the defense was good yesterday. That was the point of contention for a few games earlier. And I told you it was the problem against the Raiders. They also moved back to using Terrence Mitchell more than Kenneth Acker. So good job there, Bob Sutton and company. Zach Fulton played left guard again. Again, the offense has its problems. It's been worse. Mike McGloin isn't playing guard. Cut to a shot right now of Mike McGloin driving around Kansas City, listening to this show, and just going, "Come on, man! What'd I ever do to you?" If you are Mike McGloin, please call the show. I will apologize for unfairly targeting you. Oh, man, also, I didn't cut this audio because I forgot about it until just now. But did you hear what Alex Smith said after the game yesterday about their identity?
I feel like I did. I just glossed over it as I was playing the post-game show.
Sure, completely understandable. He's not a super interesting dude to listen to.
I don't think I listened to any of the post-game audio.
Fair enough.
Except for whenever somebody curses and I have to make sure that none of those curses escape our airwaves.
And Kelsey didn't talk yesterday, which is too bad.
So I was good.
Peters didn't talk, so yeah, you're good. Alex Smith said, one of our strengths is we can do a lot of things, but sometimes it's about finding that identity. In week 12. In week 12 of year 5. I went into the math. Andy Reid and Alex Smith have been the head coach slash quarterback combination of the Chiefs for 80 NFL weeks. 80! Dude, I know what your offensive identity is. I know. You hand off the ball not often enough, and you check it down and throw screens too much. And you have the fastest man in the NFL at receiver, and he's averaging less than 6 yards per reception. Do you know how hard that is? Akeem Hunt got 6 yards on his single reception. Anthony Sherman went 1 for 4. Anthony Sherman and Tyreek Hill had very close to the same average reception length. Are you kidding? It took Tyreek Hill 7 receptions and 11 targets to get to 41 yards, which he should be getting in a single chunk every week. It's brutal. The Chiefs averaged 5.5 yards per passing attempt. That is unbelievable. And then 2.9 yards on the ground, including Akeem Hunt's negative 10-yard run, which was actually was that on the Kelsey Wildcat play? I looked down. I didn't see this happen. I saw somebody tweet about a Kelsey Wildcat like pitch thing to Akeem Hunt. I was not watching. I was tweeting. I missed that play entirely.
I don't think I was here when that play happened. Because I got here like midway through third quarter.
Good work by us, huh?
Yeah.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, the back and forth. Like, we did some weirdly serious Chiefs and then some Marcus Peters jokes and then some cocaine.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Discussions.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Good work, Peter. That's funny.
Every once in a while, I have one good one.
Yeah, you've been good in a couple of doses today. By the way, also, talking about crack, I haven't seen this in a long time. My mom found 3 packs of it again. It's gum. But I don't. Extra is a gum brand, and there's a mint chocolate chip gum flavor. It's unbelievable. I love mint chocolate things. That's why I love Christmas. Like a good, like, oh, a little chef kiss here. Mwah, peppermint mocha. Mwah. If I say chef kiss, does everybody know what that is? Like whenever you put all your fingers together and you kiss the tips of your fingers and you explode it in a little firework?
I didn't know that's what it was called, no.
But if I would have just said chef kiss, would you have, that's probably what he means?
I would have been confused and been like, what the heck is he talking about?
I mean, I guess it also could be like a bon appetit, maybe.
I mean, now that you say that, it makes sense. Kind of.
I'm calling it a chef kiss.
Sure, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I won't challenge you.
Little peppermint mocha.
I don't have facts to challenge you with.
I mean, I guess you can try to find another thing to call it. That's fine. This gum is fantastic. Also, Beards is making a point during the during the last commercial. If you're listening to this on the radio, you heard it. If you're listening to it on Facebook or the podcast later on, you're not going to know what we're talking about. We're not going to replay it. Terrestrial radio is largely aimed at an older demographic. That's fair and makes sense. The union broadcasting stations are this and Sports Radio 810, which is like a legacy station. Like, I don't mean that. That sounds like a backhanded compliment or whatever. But like 810 is like a cathedral. That sounds bad. Again, I'm digging. 810's audience is older than ours.
I was going to say something like that, but a lot harsher. Okay, go ahead.
Say it. Say what you're going
to
say.
There's just a bunch of old people. Nobody else will say it. I'll say it. Everybody's old.
Cody's the youngest person who has a show on 810, and he's 74 on the inside. He has a 74-year-old soul. And because of that, a lot of commercials that run on the ESPN Kansas City side of things are also commercials that run on the 810 side of things.
A lot of mortgage stuff.
Yes. And
stuff that we're not interested in.
Sure.
Or have any idea what we're doing about.
Right. I mean, over here, there's like a IRA show, like a stocks show over here. But yeah, so it's kind of, ESPN Kansas City is kind of in a weird limbo where like the two local live shows that we have here, we're In the Know with Rudy Salazar.
Daily live shows.
And right, yeah, sorry, yes. And Derek Haglund. That show, the average age of that show is like 25 or something, right? Younger, probably.
20 to 30-ish.
Neither one of those guys are 30, though. Then the average, I'm saying the average age of the hosts.
Oh, okay.
The average age of the hosts of that show is like 25.
Gotcha,
how old
gotcha.
Are you?
25.
The average age of the show over here is like 23. They're 23 and a half. 24, whatever. So, but we also have like Jim Rome, who skews old because he's been around for as long as I've been alive, essentially. And so we end up with a lot of commercials over here that kind of seep through. It's kind of a weird atmosphere. I'm going to cut to the chase. We have too many commercials over here about older gentlemen getting their pee-pee inflated properly. There are just so many.
There's an inordinate amount.
Yes! And maybe it's not an inordinate amount for radio stations.
But for us. We're listening during the breaks and we'll just hear something about, you know, a little blue pill, yada yada. And we're just kind of like, no?
They also use weird abbreviations for things. Like, wait a second. What is, oh no. And like, it's not what you would call, I don't know, targeted advertising.
What's their little acronym, PE?
Yeah,
yeah,
I wasn't even going to say the acronym.
Yeah, that, I'm not going to make my joke.
In addition to, just make a joke.
I'm not sure if I can.
Make your joke to me in the talk back, just okay. In my headphones, and then we'll see if the joke is good. No, I understood. I got Beards' joke. It wasn't where I thought he was going, and it also is.
You get why I was a little hesitant there?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not a good idea.
No, it was fine. You can go ahead and. That one wasn't great. The level of funny and riskiness were not. That was not good levels. Yeah, just like a lot of stuff about like your testosterone and everything. And listen, man, like if you do need help in that department, as I'm sure we all will someday, I can refer you to, like, 10 places, because they all advertise here. Like, old men listening to something? Oh, yes, here we're, like, come to, oh, man, I actually don't know any of the names of the places. Come to Wiener Inflators.
Hey, at least we're doing an adult show over here.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We sure are. I just always think it's funny. Because you're right. It's also like, do you have mortgage payments due? And I'm just thinking, like,
nope,
I don't. Next, skip ad. Now, I guess the good question here is, I don't want to tear down. I also want to build back up, you know? What should the commercials for this show be? Ramen doesn't really have an advertising budget.
No.
It's too cheap already.
I feel like there's some clothing places.
Yeah, for sure. Get your fashion right. Every food place.
At Burlington, hook us up.
Oh, man, I would. Oh, yes. Ross, Marshalls, Burlington. Anyway, it's a race. In fact, I'm going to tweet all three of them.
That's actually a liner that I made earlier in the year, by the way.
What is?
You going at Burlington, hook me up.
Oh, that's funny. I forgot that I did that. I'm making a note right now. I'm gonna tweet all three of those places. It is a race. The first one to want to sponsor this show gets my loyalty forever.
Oh, I know what else we need. Food.
What is it? Every food place.
Slim Chickens.
Yeah. If you're a chicken place, also, hey, Slim Chickens, Strips in Olathe, Zaxby's, Raising Cane's, Chick-fil-A, race here.
Pizza places.
Oh, pizza places. I'm rattling them off because I go there. Hit me with some Pie Five. What's the place that you just discovered?
Leone's.
Leone's. Sure. Domino's, for all I care. Not Papa John's. Sure. Bleep you guys. You guys bleeped up.
Nah. It wasn't good to begin with.
Right. Also, like, Pizza Hut, meh, fine.
Sure, I'll take it.
You know what? If Pizza Hut's like, hey, we'll give you pizza for you to, you know, love us.
Yes.
Sure, fine.
Sure. Old Chicago.
Sure. I love a good old Chicago.
There's one nearby.
Pizza. Oh, sure, man. Go after 9 o'clock. Get yourself a little $2 pub pizza. Good. In the wallet and in the tummy. Adam Schefter just has a breaking news report that is, I'm upset we only have a few minutes left in today's show to talk about this. Breaking news here. Adam Schefter tweets, Raiders wide receiver Michael Crabtree taped his chain to himself before Sunday's game, knowing he was facing the chain-snatching Broncos cornerback Aqib Talib, and Talib still got it.
Well, I was going to say, that didn't work.
I mean, this is the story of the century. How great is that? Just, and it's a pride thing. Don't wear your chain if you know he's going to come get it.
I feel like it would just not wear a chain then.
So that's what I just said, but it's a pride thing. You don't want to have him change your ways when you don't wear a chain then. But that is amazing.
Oh, gosh, hold on. NFL Total Access coming up next. Hindsight is 2020.
How do they know? We're about to start that new daily segment tomorrow. Damn thieves.
I'll never forgive them for chief concern.
Oh, also, coming up next on NFL Network, they talk about all of the wiener pill commercials they deal with on the station. They're just stealing from us blatantly now. Wow, I also can't believe we got through the whole show today and never talked about the chain snatching again.
So good.
I'm tired. I need another Thanksgiving. Can we get a Tuesday just off? The Chiefs have taken all my energy from me.
Christmas break.
Oh yeah, okay, so it's, by the way, we're locked in, I think, on Christmas. I'm gonna be gone the week of Christmas. We have three shows at the end of Christmas week. And so Scott Chasen and the Lawrence General World's doing one on either side of it. And the middle day is going to be a day for the ages.
Oh, God.
Beards will be here as Charlie Carlin and Rudy Salazar keep the ship afloat. Please don't listen that day. All right.
We won't.
Start Patrick Mahomes. Don't advertise for pee-pee commercials. Bye, Mom. Ew.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.